Okay, well, I'm back in that mode where it's taking me 2 weeks to watch a movie. The current movie I'm watching very slowly is 2025's Novocaine with a pretty appealing Jack Quaid, yes, son of Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid, as our lead hero who can feel no pain. It's kind of a gimmick, but it works. And Jack Quaid has some acting chops. He's a likable guy. I'm enjoying the movie so far, but I've only watched like 20 or so minutes, so I'll give you a full review either next week or in like 6 months. And I really need to get back into that movie-watching mode. I haven't been drinking alcohol, but I have been drinking those damn THC drinks here and there. And sometimes those drinks are a little hard to gauge, and I often end up taking like a hardcore nap not too long after drinking one. And if you ever find yourself just mildly drunk or whatever around 4 p.m. or really any time, might I suggest walking into, well, any room where you can dance a little and play the song Let the Sunshine In by the band The Fifth Dimension from the 1967 musical Hair. It's actually a medley of two songs, Aquarius and Let the Sunshine In. Aquarius is an okay song. It gets a little woo-woo with the lyrics and shit when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars. All right. Or as Beavis and Butthead might say, what the hell? Yeah, Jupiter aligns with Uranus. Uranus! So just listen to the entire medley, or just skip to the middle for Let the Sunshine In. And when those horns kick in, man, it's like the grooviest shit ever. And I defy you not to start swinging like Sammy Davis Jr. I usually find myself sounding like either Jack Nicholson or Alan Alda in day-to-day life, but lately I've been drifting more into a Sammy Davis Jr. vibe. Or like we mentioned before, Billy Crystal doing Sammy Davis Jr. So picture a scene, Sammy Davis Jr. is a doctor, and he walks in to meet a new patient. He sees the patient is drinking a big cup of water, and Sammy says, "Well, first off, I love that you are drinking water. I love to see you hydrating, babe." Okay, on this episode of YAMD, let's see, some thoughts on nicknames, a hot new band, and 50% less sugar.
You are my density. You are my density.
Okay, let's see. Before we begin, I've got a few things I'd like to get off my chest. Okay, first off, this cat. I'd like to get this cat off my chest. It's annoying me. Secondly, I'd like to get this pair of scissors off my chest. I mean, how did they even get on my chest? I mean, that's dangerous. And thirdly, and lastly, and most importantly, I'd like to get this microwave off my chest. It's been on my chest for several days, and it's heavy as hell, and it's becoming painful. Okay, thanks for listening to another edition of Things I Need to Get Off My Chest. Acting, thank you. Okay, before we get to the heart of this episode, let's get to its spleen. So I came up with a band name. I don't think I mentioned it before, but as I do more and more podcasts, everything gets jumbled up and things become a bit blurry. But anyway, those who remember the details of the O.J. Simpson criminal trial will remember this phrase. So here's the band name, The Plaintive Wales. And the name kind of works both ways. You can spell Wales like the original intent, W-A-I-L-S. Meaning a cry of pain or grief, or the plaintive wails, like the animal, wails, W-H-A-L-E-S. I like to give you some flexibility. And the plaintive wails could either be like a kind of insufferable cutesy pop band from England, or a two-piece heavy metal band from New Jersey. But anyway, let's run with this band for a bit. Okay, so the Plaintive Wails are playing their new song for the first time to their record label Head Honcho, played by a conservative-looking, you know, 40-ish-year-old George C. Scott. So the band finishes up the song, and the end chorus rings out. So the executive, hell, let's just say George C. Scott, says, "Hell of a song, guys. I couldn't completely make out that chorus. What was that? Tomorrow something started or something?" The band leader says the song is called Tomorrow We Sharted. George C. Scott chuckles for a moment and says, "You're kidding, right? Tomorrow We Sharted? First off, how do you know you're going to shart tomorrow? I mean, that makes no sense. And sharted? No one wants to hear the word shart in a pop song. I mean, just call it Tomorrow We Started. That's still stupid and makes no sense, but it's innocuous at least. The lead singer looks confused at the word innocuous. George C. Scott says, I'll let you borrow my dictionary sometime. But the lead singer says, we're keeping the song as it is, or we are walking. George C. Scott says, look okay, it's your funeral. And as we all know, Tomorrow We Sharted became the best-selling and most beloved song of all time, even more successful than Taylor Cyrus and Miley Swift combined. I think I might have fucked up those names. Oh well, whatever. And whenever I hear like a weird or bad lyric, I can't help but think of the underrated, quite good film Ishtar from 1987, directed by Elaine May with Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty as two horrible lounge act songwriters who get themselves mixed up in a power struggle between the CIA and the ruler of Ishtar. Ishtar also features the amazing Charles Grodin and Isabel Ajani and her boob. But the opening sequence of Ishtar shows Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty just sitting at the piano, improvising, trying to come up with a good song. And some of the shit they say is just ridiculously bad. They're trying to write a song with the lyric, telling the truth. Dustin Hoffman is like, telling the truth is a bad idea. Later on, he's like, telling the truth is a scary predicament. And then Warren Beatty chimes in, telling the truth is a bitter herb. Dustin keeps singing, telling the truth is a dangerous tunnel. Warren goes, when you get out of that tunnel, it's got bitter herbs. And Dustin finally says, forget herb. I've never heard of a hit that had the word herb in it. It's dry stuff, but it's funny. I mean, give Ishtar a chance. It's 1987, kids, so it's a little slow-paced, but it's ambitious as hell and was just ahead of its time, or people were just too dumb to appreciate it when it came out. So I watched a boxing match yesterday on TV. It was held in the Michelob Ultra Arena at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. And of course, the first thing that came to mind was, who in the fuck still drinks Michelob Ultra? I think I've maybe had 3 bottles of Michelob in my life. But then again, I'm not a beer drinker. But I saw a preview for an upcoming fight, and one of the boxers had the nickname Cornflake. And this got me thinking on nicknames in general. And Cornflake is just bad as a boxing nickname. There's no way around it. I mean, Cornflake would be like a cool nickname for one of the kids in Stand By Me or the Goonies, but not for a boxer. So Cornflake inspired this edition of Bad Boxing Nicknames. Okay, let's begin. One of the cardinal rules of nickname usage is you generally don't want to use the name of a bread coating. But that didn't stop Vaughn Bean, who was a heavyweight with the nickname Shake and Bake. And Vaughn Bean was mostly an opponent, but I mean, he was a tough fucker, and he went the distance with Michael Moorer and Evander Holyfield, so kudos, good sir. Okay, here's another, and this takes some balls, but the fighter Cliff Kozer decided to use the nickname Twin Tyson. He kind of resembled Mike Tyson, and he actually played Mike Tyson in the HBO film from 1997 about the execrable gangster, thug, murderer, and boxing promoter Don King. May he rest in hell at some point soon. And while Cliff Kozer may have resembled Mike Tyson, his fighting skills were more reminiscent of Cicely Tyson. And Cliff Kozer's boxing record was 52 fights, 26 wins, and 22 losses. But anyone that has the courage to step into a boxing ring has my admiration. But dude, choose another nickname. That's like me starting to play tennis like right now and calling myself Mark Roger Federer D. And let's end this segment with just a ridiculous one. The British fighter Anthony Small decided to pay tribute to his favorite boxers, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, Cassius Clay, and Roy Jones Jr. by using the nickname Sugar Ray Clay Jones Jr. I mean, wow. And as far as my favorite boxing nicknames, Hands of Stone for Roberto Duran. Let's forget about No Moss, why don't we? And perhaps the most awesome nickname, the Hitman, Tommy Hearns. What a bad motherfucker. Oh, and I just remembered I actually did watch something recently. The 3-part documentary from 2025 on Netflix called American Manhunt, Osama bin Laden, The first two episodes are largely a refresher on the whole ordeal, but the third episode, if nothing else, is worth a watch. It's an absolutely well-told, gripping tale of the events leading to the raid on the Osama bin Laden compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. And God, I will never forget Barack Obama's speech unexpectedly at 8:35 p.m. on the West Coast on May 1st, 2011. I was watching MSNBC a lot at the time, and I was flipping through all the news channels, and everyone was like, this is going to be major. You know, the president is doing a fucking speech at 8:35 p.m. On one of the channels, one guy kind of mentioned bin Laden. So I called my parents and was like, turn on the news. There's going to be a press conference with Barack Obama, and I think they killed Osama bin Laden. God, what an absolutely indelible memory. And this is episode number 92, and the international country code for dialing Pakistan is 92. Coincidence? Probably. Okay, what else do we have here? Okay, some more made-up scenes. Okay, the real-life Tom Cruise is on a date. By the way, Tom Cruise has the most artificial and ridiculous-looking store-bought hair. I don't get it. Who can walk around with fake fucking hair on your head? Are you that vain? Are you that insecure? But anyway, Tom Cruise leans in to give his date a kiss, and she says, Tom, your breath is really bad. And Tom says, what? Are you kidding? That's not possible. Tom checks his breath and he says, oh my God, I've got bad breath. This doesn't happen. Tom Cruise does not get bad breath. Okay, this is a ridiculous scene. Maybe like a really bad New Yorker cartoon, but this kind of joke always cracks me up. What can I say? So two guys are sitting at a diner. One guy says to the other, so we've been seeing each other so much over the past several months, and we've gotten so close that I just wanted to tell you that I'm actually a woman. Picture a rundown, raggy, and disheveled Jack Nicholson wandering into a bar, puts down 200 bucks, and starts chugging from a bottle of whiskey. Someone sitting at the bar says to Jack, if you drink that whole thing, you're going to end up on your ass. To which Jack says, yeah, I know, that's kind of the point. Okay, and let's end on a more philosophical note. So poet and philosopher William Coleridge came up with the phrase suspension of disbelief, which is when you're like reading a book or watching a movie and you kind of just go with it, ignoring the obvious untruths and fantastic elements in order to enjoy the story. You become so involved in the story that you buy into it. Yes, it may seem impossible. Yes, it may not make sense. It may seem incredible even, but you know what? Fuck it. You're going to go with it. And when you get down to it, really, isn't life just a suspension of disbelief? Sometimes to get through life, you have to sometimes sacrifice realism and logic and believability and just dream big. It's like, okay, life kind of sucks right now, but you know, things are going to change for the better. I'm going to get up today, go out into the world, and find the love of my life, or get involved in a wild adventure, or just believe in that improbable wish. You're about to walk into a new situation or a bar or a room and you start doubting yourself, not believing in yourself. People aren't going to like me. No one's going to talk to me. I'm not good enough. And that's where you just say, excuse me, disbelief, but you have been suspended permanently. I'm going to believe in myself. I know I'm a decent and kind person. And if I walk into this room and everyone ignores me, or treats me badly, well then fuck them. They can all go to hell. And I will just go on my merry way looking for that next opportunity, looking for that next room to enter. Or at the very least, I can just go home and finish the movie Novocaine.